Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. If you're new to this, welcome. If you've been following me for quite some time, you'll know that I speak to feedback. I will bring this theme again and again, and that is the core part of this episode. It's in my first-hand experience with my queen, and I would say by extension in my relationship with my kids, it's the single highest leverage strategy. If you want to get down and dirty and go, hey, give me a strategy, this is the most powerful strategy to build an unfuckwithable trust. And trust is everything for a king. King with queen. That she trusts you is more important to you when you're in your fullest kingship than her loving you. You know, it's like the flow of love. Love, the non-stop sense of union, you know, the union, the bond of love, that's feminine core. So you have a part of that. Fuck yes, you love your queen. You want to feel that sense of love. There is that part. Yet from a kingly perspective, the most important currency of flow in relating with your queen, and if you doubt me on this, touch base with your queen, you know, it's like, hey baby, but I want you to love me, you know, it's like, does she want you to have that as your priority all the time, or your priority, baby, I want to be trustworthy? You're going to get one answer. The trustworthiness first and foremost, and you build your entire foundation in your inner world practice around being trustworthy, and then the love flows from her, because only when you're fully trustworthy can she surrender. You know, the masculine non-surrender, that's masculine practice is non-surrender, feminine practice is surrendering when you're trustworthy, that she can feel so safe that she can surrender. When she surrenders, that's when she softens. She softens, her eyes are flowing with love, with enthusiasm of life. She sees you as her king. You know those juicy moments? You might look, you know, some guys will speak to the past. It's like, oh, on application calls with me or in circle and coaching, I just want it to be like it was before. And I get that. I argue with that. It's like, hey, you want the next evolution. You don't want to retrace those steps. But I get the human experience, because why? It was easier in the beginning that she would drop into that surrender, that flow. She only has you in her eyes. Her heart is open. You know, you make love from there, passionate conversations, etc. The longer you get into marriage, the more trust becomes important. Hence, in the beginning, hey, she's going to let things slide past. She is. She's not like the full fire feedback at that point. You know, it's not necessary. And yet, you guys listening in, there's marriage vows on the table. You got down on one knee. You did the church thing. You did the beautiful sacred, you know, sacred vows. To death do us part, blah, blah, blah. I'm imagining the vast majority of you, your queens, have literally birthed your children into the world. The vast majority of guys I work with, so I can't make an assumption there. And if that hasn't been available to your queen, you know, I'm not making any point. But just statistically, the vast majority of guys listening in have kids, have young kids, or some have like grown up kids. But your queen, in the vast majority of cases, will have went through the initiation of bringing a child into the world. So she's went through that initiation. And that's where feedback, you receiving feedback, her feedback is her greatest gift. And I'm a passionate advocate of that. I'm continually searching. The last couple of weeks, I was searching for ways. I'm always searching for what I call, what we call in the movement, masculine mantras. If you've been listening in, you'll hear me repeat them again and again. It's like, oh, be the mountain in the storm. You know, the masculine mantra has a crystallized, you know, it's like it has a book full of wisdom and energetic power packed into super simple words. And I realized recently, it's like I hadn't found a punchy one for feedback. One that could become the mantra within the movement to have guys that you know, when you're in the power of the mantras is when you can have a term there. Mantra, I believe, at the essence of it, is like that which protects. You know, if you can have a punchy line that can snap you into practice, out of default boy bitch sort of resistance and arguing with your queen, etc., defending her from her feedback, into practice, into your masculine core, strong spine, soft front, not hard front, soft spine, trying to avoid from the intensity of her feedback. So in that process, I had different iterations, and yet it was actually from an inspiration of Sav. Thank you, Sav. He's one of the first man within the movement, has done incredible marriage transformation, inner transformation. He's blue belt leader in training, really coming near the end of that. And he spoke in the group that he's leading, the Australian based group, that he was referring to a book. And my apologies to the book author out there. I didn't prepare to get the author's name. I believe it's a book, Choose Her Every Day or Get Out. And Sav rightfully was really, he set the intention with the guys in the meeting that, hey, like, choose her every day or get out. Not my wisdom, the unknown anonymous author to that. And I was deeply inspired. I was like, fuck, that's just so black and white. And Sav was speaking that. And hey, as he was saying it to the guys in the group, the guys were nodding, the heads were nodding. It's like, yeah, choose her every day or get out. It's like binary. It's like, you're either doing that or just get out, you know, like, and it's a masculine challenge. Masculine grows by challenge. Feminine grows by praise. So there's a masculine challenge. I would say, and it's building context in this, for what's about to come, you know, in what the new masculine mantra is going to be for feedback. I remember my first mentor in men's work. We were doing a 3 or 4 day deep men's work intensive, and in the lead up to it, himself and his assistant that was running it with him, like, the whole running joke with the bunch of 30 men that were going to it is like, get ready for the body slams. And like, the joke was, you know, I remember joking with Alan, the guy that was the assistant, is like, yeah, man, I've got the ice packs ready. And what it was, you know, when you get into real deep men's work, shadow work, get ready. Hurt is going to be revealed. Shame is going to be revealed. Fear, inhibition, self-doubt, fucking hatred, rage, anger, opinions, you know, resistance, parts of you are going to come out, you know, when your body slammed, when real deep men's work has been done and shadow work has been done. That's why the guys were making a joke about it. They were literally saying, prepare for that, you know, like, bring it on. So there's a context within shadow work, definitely within shadow work being done in men's work, is get ready for the body slam. And in that same essence of the author that, you know, choose her every day or get out, it's like, it's brutally direct. The masculine mantra that I'm bringing into the culture in Heroic Husbands, via the podcast, men's circles, the entire movement, the leadership of it, and it feels, I've tested it out this week, guys. I tested it out. And it's been really interesting to feel into the initial amount of feedback. The masculine mantra that I'm going to be bringing on is, embrace her feedback or let her get a real man. I mightn't have it tattooed in yet as the permanent fixture, but my intuition is feeling it's on the money to have the effect that I really want to have within every single one of you listening in. Now, it's been really interesting, the initial wave of feedback and what has been revealed within the guys in the movement. I put it out as a post to, well, actually, I'll touch base with you first. You know, you listening in, assuming, you know, some of you, actually a lot of the guys within the movement, within the circles and in the global group chat, when I posted this, will actively want to listen in to hear my take on it, the perspective from a practice perspective. But touch base with that yourself. listening in, assuming that you're not a part, a formal part of a member of the movement, but hey, you're a part of the movement. If you're listening in, you're a really valued man out there doing the work, willing to listen in and take the feedback. What's the initial responses when your nervous system to that? Embrace her feedback or let her get a real man? Embrace her feedback or let her get a real man? I want to let you know that I'm acutely aware that the me of 6 or 7 years ago would have fucking hated this statement. And I can tell you for a fact, I'd have instantly assumed the other is a dickhead. Like, the me of 6 or 7 years ago is like, embrace her feedback, let her get a real man. Like, immediately, what the fuck, real man? Who the fuck are you to say that, you fucking asshole? I had a part, guys, I've spoken, I believe, in some parts of the podcast that I remember reading The Way of the Superior Man by David Aida. And at one point, I just that part of me that was wanting to resist the truth and the challenge within his book, like, got on, and I was 10 minutes Googling David Aida wife. I was like trying to hunt down, is this fucker married? He doesn't fucking know what I'm up against. He doesn't know he doesn't have the wounded woman I have, blah, 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 blah. And then at one point, it was like an Eckhart Tolle moment. At some point, you'll see your insanity, Eckhart Tolle writes in A New Word. He's like, you will catch your insanity and you will burst out laughing. And at that point, I was like, 10 minutes into trying to hunt down David Aida, go, you fucker, you don't know shit about me, about my marriage. How dare you say all of these deeply triggering things, in your book? David Aida is a powerful, provocative teacher. And the truth of what he was putting forward was so provocative that in that moment, I got caught with the triggered reactivity in my nervous system that wanted to fight and defend and take him down. And that was the power in the teaching. So I want to build in that context here. That's part of conscious design. This is a shadow work statement. It's designed to reveal through triggering resistance. I had other iterations of it, which is, hey, be the king, embrace her feedback, or to be her king that she loves, or some shit like that. And hey, that's nice, that's lovely. If I posted that in the group chat, I wouldn't have got half the response. It would have been like a couple of thumbs up, fire emojis, heart emojis, cool Mark, you go, it's beautiful. And maybe it might have got 3 or 4 responses. This other one, embrace her feedback or let her get a real man, I think it's like the most commented post. There was a stir of guys' voice messages. It's fucking beautiful. Like, it was really meaningful. It stirred a response. Hence, it's working. I've worked it in different groups. One of the guys, you know who you are. I'm not going to mention your name. Didn't get your permission. But one of the guys in one of the groups is in a real challenging inner world moment in his marriage. Like, it's a cross of destiny. And hey, there was a lot of pain, deep emotional turmoil happening. And at one point, it was my first time to bring it into the movement. I'm like, hey man, embrace her feedback or let her get a real man. And the thing was, this guy, it was fucking beautiful, man. And you know who you are if you're listening afterwards. Like, I could see your power. His response was, fuck you, Mark, with a big smile. He actually, this sentence, this mantra, got him to smile for the first time. Like, it was a long, challenging conversation with him. We were bringing fire, high level accountability. It was fucking awesome. He's an absolute king. He was meeting it and breathing through it. It was fucking incredible. But when I brought that, it's like it brought the first fucking smile on his face. So again, I'm looking for data here to go, this needs to be meaningful. From a shadow work perspective, Carl Jung is like the sort of granddaddy of shadow work. Central part of his teachings is whatever irritates you in another is teaching you something important about yourself. Again, the foundations of all of this work is your body is transmitting a message that's evoking a response. Now, it's like, where do you put your awareness? All of our suffering in marriage comes from placing your awareness on the irritating behaviors of your queen, Oh God, and your awareness goes all there, where if you bring your awareness back to yourself and the message your body is transmitting, well, now you're in the fucking driving seat. So I want to build the context in here. It's designed to provoke your resistant pathways, the argumentative nature. It's designed, and it's to see, well, what are you going to do with that? So I want to bring in safety for the guys that I try this in the global group chat. I really want the safety for you guys. You're immense guys. I want to say I'm really proud of the guys, because every single one without fail, they expressed, some of them expressed distinct disagreement with it. But what was beautiful is to have such a culture of practice. And I invite you guys that are listening that are not members of it, the essential nature, every single guy, and quite a few of them, most, you know, could, there was a distinct part of them that was disagreeing with the second part of it, or let her get a real man. The real man was like really getting, provoking a lot of resistance. Yet every single guy brought ownership to it. Nobody truth bombed me going, that's fucking bullshit, take that down. That's, you know, it's like there was a lot of ownership. Hey, Mark, a part of me is resisting. A part of me wants to question that. A part of me feels I think society needs to have a big conversation about what a real man is, blah, blah, blah. And some of the guys in circle and in the group chat was like, hey, it feels like it's pointing to this sort of macho man type thing that has not been healthy. And in all of that, I bow and I honor the guys there. I want you to feel safe. You know, this is an extension and an expansion and a deepening of that conversation within the explicit membership movement, bringing it public. So, you know, you guys, this is your opportunity to get the context for it. I gave no context when I shared it in that group chat space. So what I would bring to you from a shadow work perspective, and a shadow work perspective, I believe it, masculine practice is all about shadow work. It's coming from an awareness inside of yourself to be the mountain in the storm. What is the storm? In my world, it's the storm is wounds, woman, and world. Wounds is the number one most important thing. If a statement like this brings up a resistance, brings up some part of you that is getting caught in resisting the, or let her get a real man, then I want to suggest to you, if a part is magnetically caught with resisting that part of the statement, then I'm imagining, without any exception, the same part of your mind that gets caught with resisting that, the same part will be magnetically caught resisting your queen's feedback. This is time for heroic humility. Get real within yourself. Is there any time in the recent past, if you go to distant past in my life, oh my fucking God, yes, like 100% of the time. But is there any part of you in the recent past where your queen gives you feedback? And feedback is quite generic, but she expresses in any way, shape or form some disagreement, distaste, disapproval. And I'm using provocative terms. Oh, it's disapproval. You know, it's like boy bitch energy. It's like, any disapproval, any feedback in any way, shape or form via visceral, primal, primitive sort of, she growls, she grunts, she goes fucking quiet with you after you say something. Her body is screaming feedback to you. I'm really get that, you know, some guys, oh, she didn't give me feedback. She just got upset, you know, because, you know, feedback, Mark, it needs to be, hey, she needs to sit down and let me know directly and let's have a conversation. She didn't give me feedback. And I'm like, yeah, that is okay. And in fact, there are a lot of communication frameworks out there that places queens into a masculine framework. Goddess energy, feminine energy. You go to the root masculine, feminine teachings that so many teachers, like David Eade is one most famous in the West, but they're based, you go back into Hindu, Shiva Shakti. Feminine principle is untamable, unpredictable, unboxable. It's the non-stop changingness of the universe, and it's represented fantastically, if our queens are allowed, through their nervous system. It's what attracts us so much to them early, is this fucking spicy, feminine, fucking emotional, wow, it lights us up and we're like, yeah, get down on one knee, to death do his part, yeah baby, because I fucking love this game with you. And then you fast forward 2 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, God help us, 20 years later, and are you enjoying the feminine, unpredictable, untamable, and boxable nature of her anymore? You know, and get, stop the philosophizing, nice guy, oh well, you know, I've learned to appreciate her, blah blah blah. No, I'm really talking in the fucking face. Like, when she goes untamable, unboxable, unpredictable, gives you feminine fire, she doesn't land it in like a masculine dude in men's work. Hey man, give me the feedback, and you know, like, own it, what's happening your side, and then get curious about me. You know, in our movement, that's how you'd give feedback as a masculine guy. You know, you just went with truth, and are you projecting, man? You know, it's like, that's masculine. Masculine practice is tidy up your inner world and then land your words and have every word, you know, be impeccable with your word. Don't speak a word that you're going to come back later and go, fuck, you know, like, I didn't really mean that part of the word. I didn't mean that you're always, you're not actually always. Hey, masculine practice, you tidy up the intensity inside. Be the mountain in the storm, wounds, woman, and world. Be the mountain with your wounds first, and whatever comes true, you have it as tidied up as you fucking can. Masculine practice. Feminine practice is, they have the gush of emotionality through them, the sensitivity. They've been training for a lifetime. How many periods has your queen went through from early childhood? When you were jacking off to porn, that was your initiation, you know, like, as a teenager. She was like every fucking 28, 29, whatever amount of days, going 3 or 4 days. I'm really passionate about this. You'll feel it. I was actually tearing up at my kitchen table there yesterday. I shared it with my queen. I share, you know, what I'm, I told her, hey, this is the new masculine mantra. And then I bring it out. You know what she actually said to me? I rinse what I'm teaching. I rinse it through my queen's nervous system. This is just get a gauge. I'm powerful enough to sort of find that gauge myself. But she's my spiritual master. I relate to her. Her feedback is more important to me than... I'm not an actively practicing Buddhist. I have in the past. I gained deep inspiration. But if I have a choice of feedback between the Dalai Lama and my queen, I'm going to pick my queen every single time. Every single time. Doesn't matter. The Karmapa, whoever the fuck, I'm going to pick my queen. On a practical level, it's because, number one, she's infinitely more available. She's always fucking there. It's beautiful. For better or worse, she's fucking there. It's beautiful. But her nervous system and your queen's nervous system, they've been training for a lifetime to have such an emotional sensitivity that they can feel and pick up 10 million fucking miles away within a nanosecond of your presence, your state of consciousness, or lack of consciousness, lack of awareness, lack of conscious practice. If you're just going burping out your default moods, your default traits that you picked up in childhood, your persona, and you think that's who you are, so you just vomit that, those patterns out again and again, oh, I am who I am type stuff. And that I am who I am part of you is the part that gets insulted when you hear a sentence like embrace her feedback or let her get a real man. That's not challenging to your heart or soul. You can argue with me on this, of course, and you know, we get into philosophical. I wouldn't join you there. It's like, hey, to keep this safe for me as well and for you guys, ultimately, you know, stop the recording now, or you can listen through it and you can still disagree with me if you want. I'm like, I'd more encourage you to go, hey, if embrace her feedback or let her get a real man just doesn't serve you in this moment, you know, take what's useful for you in this time, this moment, in your karmic journey in this moment, and, you know, disregard this. But I would encourage you, you can't argue with it, but be really wary of a part of you that constantly wants to argue with this as a statement. Again, because as you do one thing, you do all things. If you argue with this, I guarantee you, the same part is arguing with your queen very often with her feedback. And, you know, it can be very quick to, no, I've been doing much better recently. I'm like, okay, well, deepen into this whole conversation here, more fire will come later on. If you're instantaneous, you know, the persona part goes, hey, you know, I'm receiving her feedback. I don't need to have the, or let her get a real man, you know, blah, blah. I don't need that shit, Mark. You know, so I am embracing your feedback. I'm like, okay, go to your queen. Ask her feedback. Have you found me, baby, in the last number of months? Keep it sort of recent. In the last number of months, has there been any moments when you have given me or been trying to give me feedback, trying to call me to a higher standard as a man, as a lover, as a parent, as a fucking human being, that you felt I acted like a moody teenage boy? My practice, guys, that has been creating such insane levels of trust with my queen, with my kids, is I rinse my fucking opinions through feedback. My reactive, I'm going to form a philosophy and I'm going to jack off mentally masturbating and thinking this, thinking that, I'll read a book, I'll interpret, I'll talk with dudes. I don't really wrestle and get caught into a ton of philosophizing. I'm an action philosopher. I rinse my philosophies, my standpoints, my opinions through my queen's nervous system, through my kids' nervous system. They're two girls, so by fuck, feminine goddesses in training. Spiky, fiery, and because of me actually embracing this in repeatable process ways that I'm going to share, it's really fucking sharpening. I don't get into philosophical arguments. I'm a results-based practitioner, and I'm encouraging you to do the same. And I believe that this masculine mantra, if you can soften into it, can really help you. When I brought it to my queen, this statement, her comment was this. It was actually fucking feedback for me. It's like, you're finally leading this man. Again, it was like, she was giving me feedback. You're finally leading this man. It's like, oh, an acknowledgement and also a body slam to me. It's like, I'm finally leading him. I've been leading him 3 years. Like, you know, I'm really good at this. Blah, blah, blah. I've got great feedback. How do you mean I'm finally leading him? That's what she said, guys. She's like, with that statement, I believe you're finally leading these guys with the power that their wives, their kids need, Mark. What she followed up with was, hey, Mark, get them to read romanticies. I've said this before. Back again, the 6-7 years ago, Mark, that version that would have tried to strangle David Aida online and get evidence that he doesn't have a wife, doesn't have kids, so he has no right to fucking teach or speak the shit that he does in the world. That same me really was triggered and deeply, if we go far enough back, hateful of my queen and the books that she read. They're romanticy novels that are written by, it's actually Sarah J. Maas. I really encourage you to read it. It's there's a Court of Silver Flames. What the hell else? There's other books, A Court of whatever. If you look up Sarah J. Maas, I got so pissed off because Matilda would talk about these fey warriors, these depictions of masculinity in these stories, and she would bring it. It's like, hey, she would say things like, hey, it's like, they just seem like real men. It's like, that's what I want. Like, can you bring some of that? And I would back argue, guys. I'd get pissed off. I'd stonewall. I'd be like, well, that's just unreal. That's like, it's easy for that woman. I mean, you know, it's easy to write out that, like, clearly, my main argument was, it's a fucking fantasy, you know. Would you get to the real world? And what that part of me was trying to say to my queen was, come back to the real world, come back to my level. Love me as I am. You know, deep down inside, I wasn't owning, I've deep pathways of unowned shame here. I feel inadequate. When you tell me about those stories, those characters, there's a part of me feeling it's absolutely impossible for me to get there. So I'm going to resist that and fight against that. And again, I would say, you don't have to agree with me, but from a shadow work perspective, and Carl Jung, whatever irritates you about another is teaching you something important about yourself. I would say that the part of you, and statistically it seems that quite a few guys experience quite a bit of resistance to it, you know, embrace her feedback or let her get a real man. The triggerability in that, that statement is not inherently disrespectful. And you can argue, oh, but it is, but it's not. Or let her get a real man. Mike Queen's nervous system heard that. She was like, inspired. You're finally leading them. The women of the world, these wives, and definitely, you know, wives, kids, goddesses, fuck, Mark, you're finally leading them. These guys need to get that shit. And she goes to the romanticies. You know, she told me of one story where she was like, God, dude. You know, these romanticies, and the key thing is about Sarah J. Maas is she's the single most successful romanticy author out there, and it seems like online by Matilda's report is like 90-95% of her following seem to be female. And online, and again, I look at this as feedback, guys. Again, I don't want, and I don't believe, in my inner world practice, what has allowed me get more and more in my power, more and more present, and radically not enlightened, but I believe in the process of enlightenment, is to make radical leaps and bounds over the last number of years. That again, with the feedback from my queen, it's like, I've never been more trustworthy, ever. I told you recently of the game I started playing. I'm on day, I think it was 32 days in a row, like, ruthlessly safe embodied practice. I've had really shitty fucking days where I had to practice, but she's been like, Mark, you've never been showing up this powerfully. And it's from this process, owning my reactivity impeccably. You know, Matilda brought up, he's like, Mark, read one of those romanticists. She spoke about one scene that she finds is like at the essence of masculine, feminine, the goddess playing with the godliness of the man. It's this incredible masculine, feminine dynamic where the goddess energy is constantly provocative in the presence of men. She's like, there's this scene, Mark. She literally said, bring this to the guys and ask them what they feel. So here it is out in front of the whole podcast. She's like, there's this scene where this super powerful feminine being, she's this feminine warrior, and they're going into this castle fortress of a different territory. So it's like, it's a major important thing. Number one, it's the woman that's leading the entourage. So it's like, there's a power in that, which is not unlike, you go back millennia ago, when the goddess, it was a goddess head figure of spiritual lineages, ancestral lineages. You go far enough back, it was a goddess lineage that was ruthlessly ripped out, and then the patriarchy has piggybacked off that. There was the divine feminine because of the initiatory rites of passage through birth, and it was the sacred relevance of their moon cycle. It was sacred. They knew back then that these beings go in, and in those 3 or 4 days in the red tent, the whole community saw the sacred nature. They had 3 or 4 days to themselves, and the spiritual power and the truth. They'd even have visions in there, and the entire community welcomed them back in like oracles. So, you know, this has existed before. What you and I as modern men are dealing with is, we're dealing with the conditioned bastardization of the feminine goddess principle. And my passion belief is, and this episode is really to bring that back. The more you bring it back, actually, the easier life becomes. I really want you to get this. I'm a really fucking practical guy. I don't put my energy or my opinions or my mindset in a certain place if I don't get a fucking ton of good shit coming back to me. I really don't. Again, you can argue with certain stuff, but have you tapped into an infinite flowing, ever expansive field of love and expansion and flowing authentic truth with your queen, with your kids, that just exponentially gets better and has you fucking overawed with their brilliance, their power, their love, their ferocity, their feedback? Not many men can say yes. I'm tapping into that, like regular dude, through this ownership of this ancient lineage of wisdom that goes back millennia. But that's lived out in these romanticies. Matilda was saying, okay, so this powerful woman coming in, and behind her, coming into this, you know, foreign territory, major meeting, woman, goddess, female heart warrior leading the entourage. And there's a few eyes of suspicion at the men that are following her behind. And her comment is to the whatever, the king or the queen or whoever the fuck is present in this court that she's going into is, don't worry, they're house trained. And my queen was like, you know, Mark, in that sentence, you know, there's one of two ways men can look at that. They can say, well, that's how fucking derogatory is that? You know, they're house trained. She's literally referring to the men behind her as pets, as dogs. You know, don't worry, they're house trained. You can take that. And she said, it's like, God, if the guys are feeling like really upset about the, or let her get a real man, you know, there's a high chance that they're probably going to get upset with that, you know. But there's a power in it. And Matilda went on to speak. It's like the great power in that is she knows that the men behind her are so fucking trained and so powerful and so unfuckwithable in their identity as warriors, as men, as spiritual beings, that she can say anything. It's actually from an embodied perspective, and this is quite provocative, it will go against like 95% of all books out there, conscious relating, where, you know, so often it's like, bring everybody to the sameness. It's this provocative queenly, she can say that because she knows there's a derogatory, humorous remark. Make off it what you will. She's like, I trust you will not take that personally. And if you do, any dudes behind me, that's on fucking you. Get into your warriorness. It's a term of endearment. And Matilda was like, Mark, women love these stories. Women love these stories because to see these men, these fey warriors, and like, yeah, you can hide out and go, they're not real and it's a woman's fantasy and it's not real world and it's not fair to modern men because whatever. It's like, you can do all of that, but women love these stories, Mark. She's like, online, Reese, in that story, A Court of Silver Flames, there's like 4 or 5 books in it. Like, she's like, Mark, you listen to the obsessiveness of women online. It's like, Reese is this protagonist, fair warrior male, like, that's true at all. Women are constantly online talking about he's like the ultimate husband. So the ultimate husband is in these stories, the level of feedback that they take from the queens, guys, it's astounding. I'm reading those books. I have learned more from those books about how to show up in a powerful way for my queen and my kids than I think it's like it has really matured all the thousands of seeds that I've planted in all the thousands of hours of research and men's work and feedback. These books have really set me to the next level. Look at it, at feedback, and look at this statement. Look at the statement, embrace her feedback or let her get a real man. Look at it as your initiation. Feedback is initiatory. Masculine central practice. For you to be off, well, number one, to be unfuckwithably comfortable and grounded within your own nervous system, the training towards that is relaxing into intensity. You can read all the books like me for years, reading books, if planting ideas, but until I got into an environment or found teachers and mentors and men that would provoke the outpouring of my woundedness and then hold space and challenge me to breathe into the discomfort and to own what was coming through me as my shadow, and relaxing into intensity is masculine practice. Now, in this profoundly sick society, we've been, whether you're aware of it or not, from a trauma informed perspective, we have been conditioned as men that if there's emotional intensity, then retreat to your thinking brain. There's a major fucking warning for you from a practice perspective, a masculine practice perspective. If when you read this, a part of your mind goes, yeah, you know, I can get the masculine challenge in the first part, you know, embrace her feminine. I get that, Mark, you know, but see this, and that part gets magnetically attracted into, let's get into a philosophical argument about the second half, you know, that's trauma conditioning. Again, hey, you can say, well, I'm going to fight and argue against that. And we're like, okay. But if there's emotional intensity, then retreat to your thinking brain is a response. Emotional intensity when your queen gives you feedback, you know, she gives you whatever feedback on whatever way, verbally, emotionally, she hisses, she growls, she goes fucking quiet because you've just been an asshole. She's giving you feedback. She's not feeling seen, heard, or safe. And when she's in feminine, she landed in what the Instagram hashtag I'm a conscious dude, you know, version goes, well, that's unsafe. You know, baby, you're not holding space and validating my emotions. You know, I have emotions over here as well. And guys, I'm not mocking that. I'm a deeply sensitive guy. Actually, one of the things that men's work and this entire fucking, I started this whole podcast and my deep dive to save my marriage, but it's actually ultimately to reclaim and rediscover who the fuck I am. I'm a deeply sensitive man, a deeply sensitive being. I'll cry at shit. I can feel hurt. I can feel anxiety. I can feel fear. I can feel like, oh God, I'm just not good enough. A ton of that. And like a shitstorm of emotions come with that. And hey, a lot of the time, my queen's feedback reveals that inside of me. But that's the distinction here, is if you relate with this statement, like there's an inherent reality existing in it as a statement, you know, embrace her feedback or let her get a real man. Oh, you know, that's inherently unfair in men. It's not. Oh, but it is. It's actually not. Because when you come with a Zen, with a beginner's mindset, you're like, well, get 1,000 different people. You know, my reality is embrace her feedback or let her get a real man. I feel inspired by that. I asked my queen the other day, it's like, if I made a t-shirt off that, like, baby, I'd wear it out with pride. But what would your reaction be? She's like, I'd be proud. You have earned the right. You embody that shit. So you're like, you are that man. You don't have to worry about the real man thing because you're embodying that shit. It's like, I'd be fucking proud to be your queen, be beside you. And, you know, you're only going to get support if somebody laughs at it. Somebody else is like, Mark, I know you've got it, but if they want my few cents on it, hey, they're going to be put back in their fucking, on their ass with what I'll tell them. That was sort of like the essence of it. There's no inherent reality in those words, hence the power of them. Embrace her feedback or let her get a real man. Let's go to the initiatory part that is essential in becoming trustworthy. You know, Navy SEALs Hell Week, there's a brutal bombardment of stimuli designed to break the men's spirit. Why? Because they need to be absolutely sure that those men won't break under pressure mentally when there's lives at stake. Well, is that not what your woman is trying to fucking support you with and trying to challenge you with and trying to test how resilient your nervous system is? You know, she gives you feedback on some small stuff and you go into a huff for 5 minutes and I'm hurt, I'm upset, you know, like you could have, should have said that different way. Like, I can't believe that you do that on, man, the most mundane things. Your queen is there going, she wants to fucking scream, guys. There is a primal scream that 99.999% of women are, they mightn't even know, but that's why the background, touch base. Is your queen, is there functional depression there? There's functional depression, there's psychosomatic stuff in it, fucking ton of women. Or there's just a dampness. She's not as alive as she was in the beginning. If and if you can say that, like, is your queen caught in her head? You know, if caught in her head, ton of to-do lists. She has a primal scream. She's wanting to get out. That's a really sad existence for a feminine being. Really sad. It's sad for us as well, but we can suffer the mental box-ticking reality easier because we haven't had the initiatory every 28 days cycle that fucking rips us whether we want or not. Hence, it's an initiation. It's involuntarily ripped into that. They feel the pain of disconnect. They feel the pain of disconnect to their radical, untamable, unboxable, unpredictable, ultra-creative feminine essence. That's a spiritual pain and suffering that is astounding for them. Initiatory, BJJ. I remember putting a video up on YouTube. I was messing around on YouTube and I was early white belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and I put out a video, hey, you know, I'm going to be a black belt by the age of 40, which I haven't, taken many different reasons, but hey. But I remember at the time I put it out, I was training a lot. Things changed that stopped me going. But anyway, I put out the video and the next time I came in to training, I had noted that my instructor had, you know, given a like on it on YouTube. He had seen it and he said nothing. And we got to the end of the jiu-jitsu teaching session and it was the rolls part where there's 5 minutes of ultimately fighting together. And he fucking annihilated me. I've never experienced such a physical onslaught of aggression. Clearly channeled in ultra safe ways. He slam dunked me for 5 minutes. He tapped me. I lost count of the amount of time. He played with my body and brutally, savagely picked me apart. It was feedback. Black belt it is? Okay, here's what black belts need to be able to hold space for. And our queens are wanting this. Our queens need to be absolutely sure that as a man, we won't break under pressure when lives are at stake. They won't tell you that. They want you to fucking arrive there by themselves. You know, it's like, what if the economy changes, you lose your job, boom, all of a sudden. She wants to know you can breathe through the intensity of that. Lead yourself, lead her, do whatever is necessary to maintain the safety of the family organism. Somebody dies all of a sudden. You're there. Not as a stoic man, but as a feeling man. Strong spine, soft front. You'll feel in. You won't harden. You'll hold space for whatever's happened. And you'll get shit done in a powerful way while remaining soft and having empathy for yourself, for your queen. You won't be hard, judgmental on anybody in the face of anything. Very, 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 very few men have paid the price to train their nervous systems to that level. But again, if there's a part of you feeling a recoil and a defensiveness and an argumentativeness with a simple fucking sentence that I'm going to read again and again, embrace her feedback or let her get a real man, you've got training to do. Again, send me arguments. But I would say it's like just surrender and ignore the sentence if it's triggering you. But any back argument, I'm going to go, man, hey, that triggering, you're not owning. And you can philosophize and go, hey, but the real man, you should shift that. There should be more conscious language. I'm like, hey, take the body slam. And if that body slam is irritating you, the magnetic impulse to put your awareness on the second half of that sentence is telling me, and I believe my queen, and if you had 1,000 women, they'd be like, yeah, well, if he's taking that personal, he's clearly fucking triggered and feeling real pressure that he's not embracing my fullest feedback. Again, don't argue with me. Don't send me emails. Don't get in the group chat if you're parts of the leadership. Go to your queen and go, baby, do you feel I'm embracing your fullest, most direct, most penetrating feedback on all levels, like to the spiritual depths of your being? And shut the fuck up and see what she says. She mightn't bring you the answer initially because she mightn't feel safe. Because if you've been, you know, boy bitchy with simple feedback like, you know, just mundane shit around the place, you're going to need to insist with that. The ultimate, like, you know, you think of execs is working with the likes of Jeff Bezos, you know, there'd be unforgivingly direct feedback because, again, at high levels of performance, the likes of Jeff, the likes of anybody in an organization like that, they need to know that you're in full preparation, not just for the day to day, but a moment like, I don't know, COVID happens overnight and then there's a fucking shit storm or an economic thing happens. They need to know that you're good in a crisis. So if you're not relentlessly not only receiving and embracing feedback, but embracing it and fully embodying it, they're like, well, this dude isn't training his nervous system. Think of the ancient rites of passage for into manhood. I have brought it before. Kill a lion initiation. Hey, there's no philosophizing allowed. You know, if all of a sudden your village went, okay, we're bringing back the old rites of passage. Literally think about this for a moment. You know, we haven't had them in centuries, in millennia, so we're going to bring it back. And imagine that, like, all rites of passage in all the great ancestral indigenous traditions, there's a risk to life. Can you imagine going, you know, well, you know, philosophically speaking, you know, I don't really agree with that. You know, I'm a man, I'm by myself. I'm fine as I am. And it's like those men, like if the men of 1,000 years ago, of 2,000 years ago, whenever in your lineage, of your local lineage, whatever, it doesn't fucking matter. But like if those men came into the village of today, the town of today, and rounded up a bunch of guys and said, okay, you're going to kill a lion now. The killing the lion one, it's been recently argued by conservationists that it shouldn't happen in sub-Saharan Africa, but it's to let you know that there's still communities out there that do this type of shit. Imagine that sort of a man. He's not allowed to philosophize. He can come to the village and go, "Hey, you know, elders, you know, I'm going to be fine, and you know, I'm not going to do it because, you know, philosophically speaking, I've seen other guys in the Western world, and you know, they're cool. I've seen them on Instagram. They talk the talk. They act all confident, and they make money, and they do powerful shit, and the hashtag, everything. Look at me in my perfect life. You know, those guys don't need to kill a lion, so I'm with them." Now, don't get me wrong, guys. There's a part of me is fucking really glad that I don't have to kill a lion. Like, I wouldn't volunteer for that shit. But I just really am practicing the humility to go, oh my fucking God. What would those warrior lineages think if I flew down to sub-Saharan Africa and hey, there's still men that goes, yeah, recent past, like there's men that have lived through that. And I went, hey guys, you know, bunch of 10 guys in a room and go, you know, you've lived through it. You're 40, 50 years of age. Like, you've lived through that initiation. Well, guys, give me your masculine version of this. I'm doing this modern work. You know, I'm out on the internet, on the podcast, doing shit. And I brought a sentence to guys, embrace her feedback or let her get a real man. I know, here's the comments and here's the expressions of upset. And they're saying that the word, you know, the real man, oh, like, you know, there's. What do you think of those men? Are those men of value? Would you welcome them into your village and say you are a man? I'm like, again, guys, this is one part that I can't claim. I haven't been initiated like that. It brings a startling fucking reality. I believe if every man that's listening in is being fucking honest here, and if you have had a part of a provocative, oh God, but you know, that sentence, embrace her feedback or let her get a real man, I don't think that's uncomfortable. That's inducing shame. That's actually insulting. That's not right. Real man, how dare you say real man? I am a real man. I'm lovable just as I am without even t need to do anything. All of that. And it's like, it's valid. It's like, whatever. Like, you can't argue. But in front of guys that have initiated through killing a fucking lion, are they going to see you as a man? Or a boy still, psychologically. There's only one answer. Again, I'm actually in the audience that can't really argue with these guys. I haven't done that. But it's sort of this part where I really want to bring the fire to that. What I don't personally believe it's actually necessary to face death. You know, f literal physical death. I really don't. What I'm finding is, and I passionately believe is, embracing your queen's feedback. And I'm talking about all of it. All of it. The entire lot of it. And facing it so thoroughly, so consistently, that more keeps coming. Let's talk about what I see as the process I use. When I coach guys, this is what I coach them one-on-one on. And by extension, guys in the membership, in the movement, you know, in the circles, it's as much as possible to... I see the guys that use this. I've been inspired. The guys that embrace this approach, I have witnessed what would seem like miraculous turnarounds by the guys that fully embrace it. So how do you go at the embrace of feedback? And I would say, like, the whole point and purpose of this statement is, or let her get a real man. It's not to literally let her get a real man. It's a body slam for you to be the realest version of who you are. I'm not here to define. I will not enter a conversation about, hey, let's define what a real man is. I'm like, that's philosophizing. That has no importance to my queen or my kids. My point is, by embracing your feedback in the process that I will talk through, the different steps, you will become the absolute definition of the realest man you were born to become, which is going to be uniquely, perfectly different for you, for me, for 10 million guys out there. So let's not read books or write books about, here, this is what it is to be a real man. I honestly, I won't get into, hey, this is what... There's suggestions. I hope I come with concepts and principles and practices that can help you embody what is the most meaningful version of a real man that you were born to become. But I won't define that for you. I do passionately believe, though, that the radical embrace of your queen's feedback, I'm talking about radical, is the most underutilized, astoundingly effective path to your full spiritual liberation as a man on all terms. You know, we want in our masculine core the embodied feeling and the feeling of limitless freedom inside of ourselves. This is the path I take. 100%. My spiritual practice. She's my spiritual master. Again, even the use of, oh, she's my spiritual master. That could upset guys. Oh, that's too much power. If it upsets you, dig deeper. The repeatable process. Step one. Relentlessly set a red carpet path for her feedback. Get over that part of yourself. I'm challenging, hey, again, if you don't like it, just fucking stop the recording. You know, it's your choice, but I'm going to be fearless in my passionate argument for, and that's not saying that there's an absolute truth, but I do passionately believe that it will serve you and serve your queen and serve your kids and serve the next seven generations in a way that will be astounding. Set a red carpet path for her feedback. Ask her on a daily basis. You know, for feedback. Tell her often, hey, baby, I'm looking for your feedback. You know, build the context. I'm really finally wanting to give up my immature, boyish ways. If you own that with a sort of like a funny self-derogatory humor, it's like, hey, I'm giving up being like just a boy. I know you fucking irritate. Yeah, I'm ready to be a man. I'm ready to be that husband. Man, you pepper that into the culture that you're setting. Set a culture for radical direct river feedback from your queen, and I would say from your kids as well, from all beings. That is leadership, I believe. Set a red carpet, little and often. Baby, you know, anytime she gives feedback, man, in any way, shape, or form, baby, I so appreciate your feedback there. Explicitly tell her and acknowledge, baby, that takes great courage for you, that in my moment of upset, in my moment of being late, in my moment of, you know, put in the 10,000 points of things that she could give you, or 10 million things that she could give you feedback on, verbally or by whatever way that comes through her emotional system. You know, she hisses, she's just upset, she's going quiet. Go, baby, it takes courage for you to just own and go quiet and not like sugarcoat this shit. I see your quietness as feedback for me. I it seems like you're upset, and then you get curious about it. It's like, what's the true feedback? You see it all as feedback, and tell her you see her courage. You're building safety. You're building tons of safety. Number two, inspire her into masculine practice, don't require her. I want to acknowledge that there are tons of different conscious communication strategies and frameworks out there that can be really supportive. And if you're a queen, if it lines up for you and your queen, I'm not going to state that they're wrong. My observation is, and hey, I've rinsed this through my queen's nervous system and I've read enough online and different comments, different things, is I feel that once you get set a container, a conscious communication container where I'll do this, then you do that, then you do that, that other thing that I've just done, and then I'll hold space for you. And that's masculine. That's a rule set. That's a playbook. That brings certainty for, it brings masculine certainty. And like the vast majority of guys would admit, fuck, if I could get my queen to set into this system that she would agree on these rules, it would make my life easier. And I'm not disagreeing that it can't be conducive. It can bring you from dysfunction to function and really powerfully. So again, the philosophical, argumentative mind, oh, but I'm going to, Mark, don't tell me that it's not right. I've lived that system, some of you guys, many of you guys. I've lived a system, it's powerful, so don't tell it off. I'm like, yeah. Dysfunctional to functional, yes. Where I have observed, and again, rinsing this through my queen, through my kids, through fucking romanticies of like what women really want, and in romanticies, they get to go there and be explicit because, you know, your husband isn't reading the fucking thing. So they surrender into that world. Leaning into age-old, millennia-old teachings of the sacredness of feminine feedback, the untamable, unboxable, unpredictable, Shiva, Shakti, Hindu. There's a fucking lineage and millennia of wisdom to unpack. I don't want to put my queen into... I don't want to put her untamable, unboxable, unpredictable heart essence, which when she's in full flow and fired air, it's fucking beautiful. When she's in full intensity, I used to be frightened of her intensity and want to trap her into, hey, why are you so upset? I was really triggered with her irrationality, with her outbursts, and the more I was triggered I was, funnily enough, the more fiery and irrational she got. And she eventually stopped getting irrational and she started being fucking depressed, guys. And she was experiencing hopelessness going, I'm loyal. Her parents divorced. She didn't want to do that to her kids. But like, fuck. This is where Mark has landed. I've went to the polar opposite of it, which as much as possible, I inspire her into masculine practice. I don't require her. What I mean by that, my masculine practice as I see it with my queen, with my kids, is I find a diamond in the rough. I allow my queen be feminine. I allow her be messy. I allow her let the intensity of, if it's live in your nervous system, just fucking let it rip. I allow her a fair amount of space, like a fucking, a deep amount of space to be, in a relative sense, unfair with her words with me. And I'm willing to do the work to find what she's really desperately trying to communicate. So if her initial words landed with the intensity, I'm finding the diamond in the rough. I'm like, I'm not going to start arguing with your words. Again, it's like that statement. If you're arguing with the words your queen is using, high chances, as you do one thing, you do all things, you're going to argue with what your queen's words are saying. But the feminine gift of feedback is more in the emotional juice. So I practice not getting lost in her words going, hey, you said always. It's not always. You know, I'm only late twice in the last 2 weeks. It's like fucking so childlike how I was. So my practice is no arguing, no defending, no mental masturbation. It's black box objectivity. And if my queen is giving feedback, that is sacred. If she's just being fucking abusive and taking undealt with shit out of me, and there can be a lot in behind that, but I find that the tendency is to hide behind, oh, the unfairness of what you're perceiving and use that as an escape route to not take her feedback. I can set boundaries. I do set real Spartan shield boundaries with my queen when necessary. They've been really effective. But when I can recognize and condition and train my nervous system, and I have, not always perfect, but it's getting infinitely better, to find a diamond in the rough, allow her intensity, know that if she's deeply upset and it's fucking messy as fuck and the words are fucking untrue, my practice is to go, shut the fuck up, Mark. Don't require her to get super rational in this moment. Get on the tsunami with her. She's super emotional. Get in the fucking tsunami, surf it out, get curious. And I start digging and find. And, you know, 2 minutes later, 30 minutes later, she bursts into tears. That's what was really annoying her. She's feeling alienated. She's feeling I didn't respect her. She's feeling that the other day, whatever. And it's like, she didn't give me feedback or I didn't pick up, whatever. But like, or quite often, it's feedback. It's just, I'm feeling lonely. And you're not picking up on that. I'm feeling sad. You're not picking up on that. And it has nothing to do with me. But that's where inspire into masculine practice. Don't require her. Because very often, guys, she's not knowing what's annoying her. My queen recently, her granddad, who was like a phenomenally important figure in her life, is pretty much on death's door. He's like, he broke his hip. He's in his mid-90s. We're gunning for the miracle, but man, it's like the writing is on the wall in a way. There's that. There's other things with her dad, and there's just stuff. She launched her community. I mean, all of that stuff has nothing to do with me, but there was a ton that she was dealing with. So it's quite often, like the words, there was spikiness, and I'm like, I'm not worried about the words. I'm not looking at the, or let her get a real man. I'm not looking at the words getting lost in them. I'm like, okay, they're provocative. I can feel a trigger, but Mark, just shut the fuck up. You love this woman. There's an authentic truth. There's an authentic human experience happening. And if the woman you love, who has born your fucking beautiful kids into this world, risking her life, and she has, you know, been initiated for decades in moon time to have this emotional sensitivity, I'm going to be her fucking king now. I'm not going to let my, you know, shitty little fucking reactivity flood into this moment. She's having a human moment. I'll own my shit. Shut the fuck up. If my tongue wants to say shitty things, breathe deep, and I will be there. Get the diamond in rough. Inspire her into masculine practice. Don't require her. When you jump on the wave with your queen and she's in the full feminine, prickly feedback, coming messy, unpredictable, untamable, unboxable, maybe the words seem very often unfair, blah blah blah, but you ride the wave with her. You, when she gets to the beach and she has experienced the full feminine core of her, she will get very rational. And I would say the greatest hesitation of modern men to truly practice what I'm saying here is deep down you're really fucking frightened of how powerfully direct and penetrative to the core of your fucking existence as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a lover, as a human being, as a spiritual being. You, there's some part of you knows if you open the door and say your feedback is sacred, she is primed in the perfect position to make you feel like a 5-year-old in a second at any given moment. She can penetrate through decades of your bullshit in a nanosecond if you'll only let her to, allow her to, if you can see her as your greatest fucking ally. Point number 3, so set the red carpet path for her feedback. A lot of guys I've worked with, heroic husbands, men circles, definitely speeds up quite a lot quicker with one-on-one coaching. But set a red carpet path for her feedback. So you're doing that. Inspire her into masculine practice. Don't require her. So imagine you're doing that. Point number 3 is really, really essential. And I want you all to really please pay attention to this. Otherwise, you're going to suffer like fucking dogs as men. Point number 3, the worse the feedback, the better you're doing. Those of you that have been practicing this receiving feedback, being the man in the storm, shutting the fuck up, not being a boy bitch and that, imagine if you've been really going at this, you're experiencing what a ton of guys experience, which is the feedback seems to get worse. And it can shock guys. I've seen it so often. I've found it in myself. It's a predictable evolution of being a great husband. Is when you tick number one and number two, you're actually going, okay, I'm going to shut the fuck up. I'll do as much as I can listening to the podcast. I'm receiving the feedback. There's immense guys, great intentionality out there, and you're practicing it. The feedback gets worse. Why? Because I know myself, guys, I was not a safe space for the feedback on the small stuff for years. Matilda telling me where to park the car, pointing out that I'm late too often, pointing out that I'm moody with the girls, pointing out anything about finances and work. Oh my God, so fucking triggerable. Pointing out I'm not opening up to her, pointing out anything about the preparation, about dinner. Man, the list goes on. I go back and go, oh my fucking God. Oh my God. How she loved me through all of that. How she stuck with it. There's almost like a part of me glad that her parents divorced and she had that loyalty stick to play and didn't want to do to the girls, because she would have drop-kicked my ass a lot sooner. Being really honest, not shaming my previous self, but just really from a mechanistic perspective, now knowing what I now know. So I did not have a hold a space, safe space for the small stuff, and I would get super prickly, which there's a sneaky bastard protective mechanism in that. And I encourage you to look at this. If there's a part of you that, still maintains a reactivity on the small stuff, there's a protection there, because if your queen can't feel safe to give you feedback on the small stuff, she's definitely not going to land the real life-altering feedback that ultimately she holds back that feedback. And a woman that doesn't have her feedback received on the small stuff, that's the elephant in the room as to why a woman ultimately divorces or goes fucking another man. Because she's like, she's looking for, and dare I say it, she's looking for a real man. She's looking for that mystical experience of a man that will fuck her into bliss sexually, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, that can hold space for everything she has as a woman. The good, the bad, the ugly. His nervous system doesn't perceive and doesn't perceive any distinction in any part of her human expression. He's there for all of it. I want to own that there's an anger present for me throughout this. And again, it's my use of the word anger. It's not against you. Anger helps me know when I feel that fire in my belly. It helps me know what I'm for. My anger is for you're thriving as a man, for you're thriving as a husband. It's for the liberation of allowing feminine beings, our queens, be fucking queens, be goddesses. It's for our kids to witness what it is for their moms to be shining, fucking like the entire orchestra of her emotionality, her sensuality, her sexuality, her sensitivity, to be on full blare as often as feels conducive to her thriving happiness and her creativity and confidence in the world, being a woman, a wife, a lover, a mother. And, you know, I want that. I'm for us as a generation of men doing what's necessary to unfuck the bullshit baggage that we've been trained as men, that, you know, be the provider and anything after that, you know, like I'm doing more than the generations before me. So, like, why are you still upset and saying that I'm not a good enough husband and getting camping out and that shit? If you judge yourself against the generation that came before, you got to look and go, well, the generation that came before was 10 kebazillion miles of kingliness. So you can be twice as good, four times as good as your dad, and you're still a million fucking miles off what your queen's heart and soul needs to thrive and feel safe, seen and heard, and fucking feel enlightenment, the absolute liberation of her heart and soul. And I'm gunning for that for you as well. I'm five and a half, six years doing this work. I've come from being suicidal to, well, you get to experience. I'm not saying, hey, it's my version of my full orchestra coming back, but there's anger, there's passion, there's desire, there's joy, there's There's happiness, there's power, there's strength, there's courage, there's confidence, and that's just this podcast alone that's coming through me. I bring the same to my queen, I bring the same to my work, to my kids. This is all on the table for you if and when you fully embrace her feedback. Again, it's the greatest feedback on the planet. So the worse the feedback, the better you're doing. What does that mean? Well, you hold a safe space for feedback on the small stuff. This will allow your queen feel completely safe to land her deepest feedback. And you, I have seen this and listening to it, it's like, you know, Matilda, before the Christmas, I've been doing this work, you know, this work and sexual shame work and all fucking tons of stuff. And in 5 minutes, she totally destroyed 16 years of my lovemaking. Totally destroyed with feedback. And I used the word destroyed, you know, in inverted brackets. It's like, it's not destroyed. She gave me feedback. That's it. Her feedback was in a 5 minute, calm, relaxed sharing at the table one morning after breakfast. And it went something like this. Mark, I have come to realize recently that when I look back at our first 16 years of sexual intimacy together, I have come to the honest realization inside of myself that in my experience, you have never led once in the bedroom. That was the end of her feedback, guys. Now, in that moment, was there a part of me feeling sliced through, hurt, unseen, you know, on a level disrespected? Was there a part of me going, how do you mean not leadership? Well, is it not fucking leadership? You know, I've been reading David Aida. I mean, I mightn't be perfect, but that's leadership. I've been trying new things in the bedroom. That's leadership. I've been doing, was there a part there? Yeah. Did I speak any of that to her? No fucking way. It was quite simply one of the simplest conversations that I've had in my marriage with my queen. That was pretty much the end of the feedback. That's all she needed to say. And again, the worse the feedback, the better you're doing. I have come to know that that is the process. Zero argument, zero complaining. I thanked her profusely, told her, baby, I did own. Baby, that's hard to hear. And yet it's revealing and it's freeing. I've obviously got to get to work. Because the feedback was so fucking potent and so received, it was a juicy couple of weeks afterwards because I had a reveal of sexual shame and shadow and fear that I would never be able to be a leader in the bedroom, etc., etc. Her feedback revealed so much. It's like the ultimate feedback, the ultimate gift. But because I have been so incessantly safe, rolling out the red carpet for your feedback, incessantly affirming her, making her safe, encouraging her, praising her every single time she has the courage to give me feedback, she feels safer and safer and safer. So the worse the feedback, the better you're doing. And you'll find that in practice. I hear it in the circles. I hear it in all the guys that truly go with this. Not every guy truly goes with it. The badass guys that are really passionately practicing humility, and they practice every single thing that they learn within the circles, they learn the podcast, that they learn in coaching. They all, without fail, will report every taught number of months, every taught number, you know, it's like, they'd be like, oh my God, guys. And they actually, the thing is, they're like, I'll hear this type of commentary. I thought I was doing good, but you won't believe what you told me there at the weekend. I'll hear that, and I want to speak to that. The worse the feedback, the better you're doing. I celebrate consciously and explicitly with these guys. I get passionate. I get happy. I'm like, oh man, what a fucking sign. Because you'll hear things like, I've never felt safe with you once around your family. I'm sick of that. It's like 1, 2, 3 decades of experience, and she pierces through it. Because why? She's finally able to release herself from the bondage of you getting upset by being told you didn't cook the fucking pasta well enough. You know, like, she's being liberated of the small stuff, so now she can get to work being a real woman, owning what she has always wanted to tell you. And the worse the feedback, the better you're doing. If she doesn't have a freedom to give you this feedback, she's not safe. If she's not safe, she's not feeling seen and heard. And hey, unhappily ever after, that's the worst case scenario. But she'll be unhappily ever after. There'll be a part of her fucking dying on the inside until she can feel safe. So the worse the feedback, the better you're doing. I'll hear other things like, hey, either get good at being an entrepreneur or find a job that provides true security. You know, you're 5 or 6 years, you're 10 years with your own business. It's a pain. So either get mentoring, train yourself, learn how to do it in a sustainable way, or please just change. Oh, it's unfair, it's this or that. No, the guys that take it, they're like, okay, wow, she's been feeling hurt for so many years. You know, feedback I know I've gotten, I've heard other queens, you know, direct. You've soft boundaries with that woman. You've soft boundaries with the women at work. It hurts. Fucking stop it. Be a better man. You know, it's direct. Where, again, if you're not receiving it on the small stuff, she won't feel safe to bring that. And, you know, if you get reactive on the small stuff, if she brings the likes of this feedback, you're going to fucking stonewall her and she's going to feel like you're alienating her. You're actually never happy with us. I heard this with somebody that we know, Matilda and myself, in our extended international community. You know, you're friends of ours down the years, and there's a breakup happening, and it's like, you're never actually happy with us. Do something about it or leave. And yeah, a guy left. But that was feedback. You're never actually happy with us. Do something about it or leave. I don't know. I haven't spoken with a guy. Doesn't want to open up. It's feedback. So the worse the feedback, the better you're doing. And number four. This is a super... This is like a masterclass in the whole lot of it, guys. And I'm not going to apologize. If I checked the timing off this. Where are we at? An hour 20. Well... It's feedback to you if you want to jump off too early. This is one that, repeat this, put this on repeat. If it feels inspiring by you at all, I believe there's life transforming juice in this. Get this into your nervous system. I believe can put you on the infinite path with your queen, with your kids, to like literally the infinite game of expanding love and happiness and peace and all the good shit. Number four, set boundaries but never abandon her. Set boundaries but never abandon her. For the prickly argumentative part that wants to go, yeah, but Mark, there's sometimes and she just says things that are like explicitly abusive, blah, blah, blah. It's like, man, of course set boundaries. Of course. I have said some of the most powerful moments early on was I did end up, it was so emotionally abusive between myself and my queen that at one point I had to find the ferocious self-love and acceptance inside of myself to go that if the marriage had to break apart, it meant nothing about me as a man. So I ended up, my queen was in like the four horses of the apocalypse. I now look, it's like that, it was not feedback. It was just an outburst like of abusive things that she was saying, and feedback in a way, there was a part of me that with experiential know-how and maturing can go, I could have and would have actually dealt with it more tactfully. But at the time I was like, baby, I fucking love you, but I want to let you know I'm finally learning to love myself. See the way you're speaking with me now. I find there's no use in that. I'm seeking feedback, but there's nothing of use. That's only abusive. It's only insulting. I'm here for all of you, but no more of that. If you choose to continue with explicit abusive language that has no remnants of anything that I can use to be a better man, that I can take no meaning of, I am not going to deal with that anymore. And I want to let you know, I am willing to leave if and only if you absolutely insist on going with that. I've learned different ways. It definitely helped ground her. That was in the most extreme of circumstances. And I've learned with time that it wasn't the most tactful way. The most meaningful, what came afterwards, and it was super fucking intense. When I go back to myself, Matilda, like, guys, the amount of trauma, both sides, and like, it was messy. It was downright fucking messy. Matilda was hurting so deep, and I discovered how much hurt I was hurting, and I wasn't feeling seen, heard, and safe, or loved, or appreciated, etc. But the most meaningful boundary I've ever set, it was in a passionately intense moment in conversation with Matilda, and it was getting to such a level, it was a bit like the fuck, this is just not working, my God. And at that time, I didn't have the skill set developed that I have now. That's okay. The most powerful thing I said, and it was like, I set a boundary, but I said it like this, and it was intuitive. I never could have expected. Matilda still says, it's like, Mark, that was one of the most loving things you've ever said. And it's like, wow, never would have got there by myself. It seemed like all hope was being lost. We were at loggerheads together, like, you know, this is splitting, this is falling apart. And I said, baby, you know, I have such a fear that we'll fall apart. It's like, I love you so much. I love the girls. It's like, I'm here to fight for all of it. But it's like, what has been happening in recent days, it's like, it's not helpful for you. It's not healthy for me. It's definitely not healthy for the girls. I just want to let you know, it's like, I've actually looked online. We've a couple of $100 in the bank. I was looking at the option of getting a caravan. I'm actually tearing up here, guys. Because it brings me back to that moment where, and I know from my own inner world experience, where you have a fear that you love this beautiful human being in front of you, but you have a fear that you just don't know how to have that love connect with her. That's where the tears came up, because like, it was my last ditch attempt. But what was genius about it, I said, baby, I've online with a couple of $100, I'm willing and I'm considering getting a caravan if I need to, so that to give you enough space and me enough space and the girls enough space, but I'll plant the fucking caravan there, 30 yards away from our front door. And if it allows me and allows you to soften enough, to relax enough, to feel enough safety, so we can just take a couple of steps forward, I'll do that. I'm not leaving you, ever. I am not leaving this marriage. I'm not fucking going anywhere. Guys, she told me, and she's told me multiple times afterwards, it was like the moment when she knew I was all in. It was pretty much the most beautiful expression that ever came through me. And it was a boundary. It was like, I can't and I won't, and it's not good for you, it's not good for me, I can't, this can't go on. Boundary. It's like a part of me, no to this. But I set the boundary with a promise, I'm not abandoning you. Abandonment is the core feminine wound. The fear of abandonment, the fear that the world is just going to like open up the floor in front of me and I'm going to disappear into oblivion. It's like, set the boundary, but never abandon her. Never stonewall her. Set the boundary, but come back with heart, come back with curiosity, come back with love, be strong spine, soft front, but never abandon her. Too often when guys set boundaries, they're kamikaze style, there's hurt behind it, there's resentment behind it, and a part of you, if you're really fucking honest, wants her to hurt when you're setting a boundary. Don't do that. Ever. This is, hey man, I passionately believe this is some of the juiciest embodied wisdom that can open the infinite path of expansion, of love, of happiness, of health, of healing. By practicing this alone, my queen sees me as being the most healing presence in her entire life's existence. And yes, she has been to professional care, fucking person here, person there. She's like, I am. I passionately believe when you let me go, get the fuck over that part of yourself that can take, oh, or let her get a real man. You know, like if you can put that part on the shelf, you're going to need to. You're going to need to. That reactive, opinionated, let's argue, and let put that part on the shelf. It will soften with time. And obsessively get the thing that I'm intending to provoke within you. It is the direct masculine challenge. Embrace her feedback or let her get a real man. I'm like, don't ever let her get a real man, man. The point is, it's a body slam to wake you to fuck up. To wake up and go, your queen is your number one supporter in this human journey. If, and only if, you'll have the spiritual balls to let her. Get over the reactive part that wants to play out the cognitive distortions of the confirmation bias that the feminine never will see you as lovable, as complete, as enough. She's out to get you. Look, and you're constantly with a confirmation bias looking for only the data that she's treating you unfairly. I'm like, man, entitlement or enlightenment, you're not entitled to anything with your queen. I believe passionately in the enlightenment thing, which is 100% her side, 100% your side, fucking quadruple down and 100% your side. And through this process, the part of you that gets reactive and gets caught in philosophical arguments, and the part of you that feels resistance to certain types of teaching, the, you know, embrace her feedback or let her get a real man, or, you know, choose her every day or get out. And there's tons of different things. You read, like me, The Way of the Superior Man, and you get really fucking pissed with David Ayidi and T. How dare he fucking say that about, he doesn't know anything. Put that fucking part on the shelf and it will soften and dissolve in time, and you won't feel like you need to retreat to your cranial brain when you feel emotional intensity. And when you find your cranial brain goes hyper-reactive and that there's tons of thoughts of resistance, you breathe through it and you breathe through it and you own it as yourself and you soften in and then take her feedback. And because she is so astoundingly trained and prepared by evolutionary fucking biological spiritual inheritance of the goddess lineage of power, she will be able, when you embrace that from a nanosecond to a nanosecond, to give you the type of feedback that, man, the real man, you'll be your realest man ever. You'll be the integrated, enlightened, realist version, authentic, all the fucking words and the meaning. You won't give a fuck, because why? Beyond the words, what do you want only to feel and surrender into the fullest freedom beyond thoughts, beyond words, beyond philosophies, beyond these words that I'm using today, and feel that you just are. It's you. You don't need words to describe that. You just feel so fucking complete, you don't need words anymore to describe it. Your being. It's the godlike peace and presence that those mystics and saints, they play with teachings. As Eckhart Tolle says, don't get lost in the words or in the opinions about the words and the arguments and argue with each other about the words. The words are only signposts to something that leans so far beyond into the depth of being. Embrace her feedback or let the real man in. It's an invitation. It's a challenge. It's a, man, you were born to live kingliness and godliness and an infinite capacity to love irrespective of whatever the world puts your way. That's what it's pointing to. If it feels of use to you, if these words today in this episode are inspiring to you, good. If that part just doesn't want to sit in the shelf, that's okay too. It took me a long number of years to actually see and feel into the full love with David Ayida and different teachers, the prickly stuff. It's okay. on your own time, on your own terms, as the beautiful, perfect man that you are. Definitely today, I believe, if you've listened in and you listened to the fullness of this, and I've wrung my heart and soul dry, this is the best juice that has allowed me transform the shit show, suicidality inside of myself, the wanting to kick my queen out and like be hard with my kids and traumatize the living hell out of them, to live what I'm living out now, which is, it surprises and delights me. The joy, the beauty, the love, the emotionality that I can feel, the connection with my queen and kids. And I want that for you guys. I really want that for you. And I believe as a generation of men, if we can get together, and we are getting together in this individual and collective conversation, I believe the challenge is being set to us to be that generation of men that has the spiritual fucking balls to bring, to make spiritual practice at this level sexy again, to really fucking sex it up. Enough of the spiritual practice. I don't believe organized religion has had like fucking millennia on the job. I look around world and go, well, you know, feedback. I'm a feedback results-based person. I don't think the core teachings have been embodied to the point. Otherwise, society would be a lot fucking better off. I passionately believe that the single most important leaders in the world at this time of human evolution is yourself, myself, family man. I thoroughly believe that. I thoroughly believe that. We are so important because we've got goddesses beside us, which are an infinite source of astounding spiritual energy. If they have a man that will play the dance with them and embrace that feedback with impeccability. But you have at your hands, in your fortress, the seeds of the next seven generations. The entire future of humanity depends is on how you respond and how you embrace your power, your potentiality now. And the wisdom in this episode, I believe, is, well, it definitely is playing out in my life as being the most powerful spiritual path to my enlightenment, my awakening, my rediscovering and embodying who the fuck I truly am, and my love, the love that I have always been, am now, and always will be. And I believe every man resonates with that very deeply. This is my path. This is my beautiful, perfect path. It's over to you to decide within yourself whether you feel inspired to join me in your version of following this path. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.